Good to be here at Capitol today. Boy, there's no other better way to start the new year than right here. I'm in it. That's my real feeling. It's just a delight to be here. And we heard Pastor Troy called and he said, would you come? And then he said, oh, by the way, now that you've agreed to come, would it be okay if I wasn't there? And I said, I'd be honored if you weren't there and you and Suzanne got away. So what a super deal. I get to be here. They get to be gone. You get to be here. And the Lord is here. I mean that very seriously. What a wonderful time in worship. One thing that hasn't been very good so far today, you know, it's this. The band, two of you went, that's the best stuff I hear when I go to churches. I mean, that's hot. So let's give it up for the band. Hey, ho, thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Boy, I that's real. That's good stuff. I love that. Hammond, yeah. If I could play. I gave up playing when I was like about six. My teacher said, you are the worst student I have ever had. So I went home and said to my mother, my teacher just said, I'm her worst student. Does that mean I can quit? And she said, okay, fine. So that was it for me with a chance to do what we heard this morning. And I did play some other things, but not keyboards. I wish I wouldn't have quit. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. In fact, I say that with real feeling and meaning because I would like to try to plant in your heart a quality of life and spiritual life that I do believe will go a whole long way to making this a happy year for you. I mean that seriously. If the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart while we're talking together this morning and kind of starts putting some deep affirmations in your soul about what I'm talking about and causes you, when we get to a place where we're going to try a couple of things, to say, let's start applying this even right now, and you start to feel movement spiritually within, oh man, this is going to be a happy new year for you. I really sense that and really feel that in my soul. You know, when the quality, I'm going to be talking, when Pastor Troy called and said, would you come and share, I really tried honestly to have it as a habit of my heart to never just immediately look back on something I've already said somewhere. And I don't mean that to be in any other sense than maybe to enhance your open-heartedness toward what we'll share together today, but I immediately started a process of prayer and quietness in my soul to say, so Lord, I know these people, some I love these people, so what am I supposed to say? I have this wonderful opportunity, and what do I make of this? And immediately, and I think it was because it was something I was seeing in Scripture, a concept started coming to me immediately in that process, and I've been nurturing that ever since I talked to Pastor. And it's to share with you something extremely strategic, and it's humility, being humble of heart. And there are some incredible advantages to being humble. I know there are some that we worry about when God starts to push us toward being humble, and we get, oh, I'll get walked all over, things will go bad, I'll be considered weak, you know, all those kinds of things about being humble, really. But you know what the book of James, probably Jesus' brother, earthly brother, wrote about Jesus and about humility? He said, God will exalt the humble. He gives special grace, James 4:7, to people who learn to be humble. And I would just give that to you early. It is something we learn. It's not something we get enough feeling for that it happens. It's something we learn. It's a thing, a quality, a characteristic that we adopt in our lives in terms of how we choose to function. And we have waves of humility that hit us where we really feel humble. And we have times when we just do the thing that is right in terms of being a person of humility. And it turns out to produce some feeling, and long term produces a quality of life that really does, honestly, make for a happy life. I was talking to one of my sons about this over lunch last week, and I said, I'm going to try to talk about being humble up at Capitol. And frankly, you know, it's a little easier to talk about this when you come into a church and go out of a church than if, you know, Pastor Troy was trying to talk about this. I don't think I ever talked to the church I pastored in Lincoln, Nebraska about this because it's just too hard. Humility and how I have accomplished it. You know, kind of like, oh, really? You know, so you know, it's kind of tricky, you know. So I said to my son, I'm going to try to talk about humility. And he said, oh, one of my lines on humility, one of my favorite lines is, it's the quality of life that I hope is in all of my friends. That's kind of fun. Two ways you can think about it. But I tell you what, if you have a little trouble being angry too quickly and saying things you wish you hadn't said and kind of ruining relationships, this will help. If you have a little trouble sensing the grace of God, this will help. If you have a little trouble with identifying how to proceed in life, this will help incredibly. God gives grace to the humble. That's a promise. So if you are hungry for more of the grace of God in your life, this is a way, a very large way of Scripture to get there. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the book of Philippians, and I think it'll be up on the screen, and I would just like to read a passage. We're just going to open up a little bit, but we're going to take a look at Jesus and the process of humbling himself that he went through. It's very instructive for us. I think there are things we can learn from the passage, and then we'll come down to an application of some things we're examining today. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading it out of the New International Version. It's the Truckers Version, I think some people say. You didn't get that, did you? Okay. I'm going to start at verse 3. Okay. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Whoa, here we go. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus begins this cycle, if you would. We could maybe call it that, or at least a journey. He begins the journey in heaven itself, if you would. One with the Father, the Trinity of the Godhead. Jesus, fully God, and then we know from the journey, fully man as well. The uniquest, is that a word? The most incredible form and expression of humanity there has ever been. The Lord Jesus Christ. There never will be another like him. Never has been any other like him. Jesus beginning in heaven as part of the Godhead. And he begins his journey by becoming a man. He humbles himself. Step down. And the man form he takes, we just celebrated Christmas. We celebrated Christmas, if you would, this way in our house in the late October, early November, as a special little gal, Presley, was born to one of our children. And I have had a bunch of grampy time with her. I Oh, man, just wait. Just wait. Here I am holding this really newborn. She can't even hold her head right. I've got to get one hand back here. You know, I'm not very good at that. I got to have people teach me almost every time. And I get one hand kind of back here so her head doesn't loll too bad. And then she's kind of looking at me and kind of looking at the fan in the ceiling because it's got big dark blades. And she has no idea what that is, but it's a lot more visual than I am. And so I blend into the rather opaque wall. And so she's looking at the fan and lolling her head. And I'm thinking, oh, God. That's how you came? You know, I always kind of introduced, and Jesus came into the world about 19, full of energy on a track team. You know, I mean, that's, you know, and you get this, oh, God. He humbled himself. First night's sleep, vermin-filled straw. First visitors, messy, awkward, gawky shepherds. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's part of the mystery of the celebration of our Lord. He humbled himself. He became a man. And not just a human being starting from babyhood, but he became a humble man. If it weren't enough to be that fragile and dependent, he humbled himself again and became a servant. He labored with his hands. He helped people. And when he embarks on teaching and ministry on the road, he's saying things like, come to me if you are weak and you are laboring and you are heavy of heart, and I will give you rest. For my yoke, my call, my projection for your life is light, not heavy. I am not about to force you. I am meek and lowly of heart, he says to people who will follow him. And just a couple of places where he taught, and honestly, the margin of my Bible gets marked with all kinds. Do you mark the margin of your Bible when you read it? I'm awful. I have to buy new Bibles because they get so marked. You get so many marks, you can't tell what any mark means. Do you get to that? I get to that place. Well, now my whole Bible has got H's in the margins. Humility here. Oh, my land. Humble here. Oh, my goodness. And a couple of those passages just for our sake here, they'll be up on the screen, but Luke chapter 9 and verse 46, if you would. Luke 9, 46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. And then he said, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest. In other words, the entry into the awesome stuff of the kingdom of God and the presence of God and the work of God in the world is not through who is the greatest. He probably will have the anointing, or he will have the favor of God, because after all, he has earned all these things. He's been on a 10-day fast to start the new year. After all, he's given up. And Jesus said, let me get a child here. I'll tell you, the entry into the kingdom and the greatness of God is in humbleness, like a child. Children are so humble, really, when you look at it, so innocent when you're around them, so captivating in their wonder of things about them. And it's that heart that God will touch and use, the humble of heart. He gives a prayer just one chapter later or so in the Gospel of Luke, and it struck me freshly as I was thinking about this theme as to what he was having us pray. Jesus said, here's a prayer you can memorize and pray in the church. Historically, this is one of the ancient and oft-repeated prayers in all kinds of settings of the church. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. He said, here's how you can pray. Here's a model prayer. And with this theme in my focus now, I look at that prayer, and there's other bit longer versions of that, for instance, in Matthew. But I notice that there is no me. At the most, there's us. And there's a lot of them. And there's a lot of forgive me as I forgive them. Do you see the gentleness of that prayer? Do you see the selflessness of that prayer? Do you see the humbleness of the prayer? Jesus said, here's a prayer you should pray a lot. Father. We've often marveled at that, but this week I've marveled at us and them and not me. It doesn't mean we don't pray about ourselves. It doesn't mean we're not concerned about what we're doing in this new year. It doesn't mean any of that. But it means we approach that not with, I am going to make this year happen. Any of you done up lists yet? I have. My hand is up for meeting. I've already meditated on things I need to do, like exercise more. If I could just, well, I better not go into that direction. But I have this little list, and I look back at a list I had some years ago, and I had 30 boxes on the list. Hello? I like lists. I like checking off boxes. I like keeping myself under control. I like doing the stuff, and I like telling people what I just did. I just dropped 10 pounds. What am I doing? I'm serving myself. It's me, 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 me. And Jesus said, you want to really go? It's them, them, them. It's Father, Father, Father. It's us. Wow. That's a bit countercultural, isn't it? It really, really is. It's a bit countercultural. How do you serve? How do you make it happen? Well, we could keep examining, really, honestly, all morning, passages of Scripture that reflect Jesus' teaching. But the cycle for him didn't finish with humbling himself, teaching and modeling a servant's heart and life. But it goes on to say, and being found in the form of a man and a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the cross. And that's why we're here. It wasn't that he served people and taught wonderful things. That's true. But the reason we're here today and rejoicing as we worship is because he humbled himself again from being a servant to being killed. He didn't resist. He didn't protest. When people took out swords to protect him, he said, put them away. That's not what this is about. People that were holding him in trial, if you remember, that's Easter. When they were holding him in trial, he said, aren't you going to say anything? My kingdom is not of this world. I don't need to. I'm here to follow the bidding of a Father who is supreme and sovereign. And he went to the cross, and we could meditate on that for a long time. But when we see Jesus clearly crucified all the way to the bottom, there is no further step down than the cross. We see underlined clearly how much his call on us as followers of him, his character, his teachings, his example, is that we too be humble people. Jackie and I both were married once before. Both lost our partners. That's quite a story. Remarried, frankly, had severe challenges, real serious challenges. Marriage is challenging. If any of you are here and you say, one of my resolutions for the New Year is to get a better marriage going, wow, welcome to the world. Marriage is very challenging for everybody. You know, we do a lot of marriage seminars and counseling. It's amazing, you know, the people who finally, when you have a bit of their trust and they think, you know, these people are pretty real, they'll come up and say, oh, I'm the leader of this church, but it's because marriage is challenging. Welcome. Yeah. And when you get remarried in midlife, you not only have all the challenges of getting married, but also forgetting or remembering or whatever you do with that. And then you have five children mixing around, shooting their guns at you at moments. No, Cammy, that's not true. But you know, you have all this stuff going on, and I tell you what, I just want you to know, the best times in our marriage are when there is humility, when there's a servant heart, when we're humble, not prideful, when we're trying to have the best marriage. I'm trying to be the guy in charge. I'm trying to be the smart one. I'm trying to be the guy that's capable. I can do this. Those are the times when it's bad. Can I be this blunt? When we pick up after each other, when I wipe the lid, you know, guys, the lid. When I pick up stuff that missed the receptacle, when I dry the dishes, when I rub the feet, those are the good moments. And it really is when I'm humble of heart. I don't have to have that coming back to me if I'm humble of heart. I just take some joy in giving. Because it's not all about me. It's about you, and it's about our Lord, and it's about servanthood. What can I do to help you? I want to give you just a couple. We got a couple more minutes. Okay. How do you go this way? I mean, okay, we can talk about it and kind of maybe agree. I hope I won't ask for a poll because it might shock me. But I hope that you agree that this is a huge quality all over the pages, honestly, of Scripture. Though in our culture, it's very rarely dealt with because we're all on the other side in our culture, basically. But humble of heart. How do you kind of move from where you are now in that direction? You will always need to be moving in that direction. But how do you kind of do some things to move in that direction? We're going to have a kick for about the next 5 or 6 minutes, okay? And I won't abuse the clock here. But for about 5 or 6 minutes, there's been a fun thing that's gone on this Christmas. Stunning. I was in my den studying and preparing and doing stuff. And Jackie came running down the hall and said, you got to come and see this. And what she'd gotten on was Facebook. And there was a deal that was being broadcast across Facebook. And what it was 650 people in a big, multi-layered, open court Macy's in New York. And they were there staged to surprise everybody else. And they were going to sing and did the Hallelujah Chorus. How many of you have sung the Hallelujah Chorus? Would you like to sing it again this morning? Yeah, we're dealing with how do we practically go to a humble heart. You know, and so we watched on the thing, and now there's been a whole bunch of different versions of it in different places and different groups and all that kind of stuff. So you might have seen a different one than this, but this one in Macy's was, we were just absolutely riveted. As these people were singing, and all the Christmas shoppers, you know, in Macy's that were just going crazy buying stuff and everything, we're going, what? Hallelujah for the Lord God, our omnipotent reigns? Oh, really? And then the thing that was really cool was some of them were absolutely stopping. And they started to, you could see their lips start to go as they started to try to join in. It was unbelievable. And then their faces started changing from the mad shoppers, you know, the pre-Christmas, go, I want the deal, to God reigns. Oh, man, you know? And it was like, and at the end, there were people in Macy's, New York, lifting their hands out of reverence to the presence of God in pre-Christmas Macy's. Oh, I love it. Well, at that time in my journey, I was intersecting with taking a fresh look at Hubble deep space shots, NASA. And this got caught. These two things intersected. And what you're going to see here is people singing the Hallelujah Chorus while Hubble shows us some of outer space. Now, some of the pictures you're going to see in the next about 4 minutes, and some of you that would like to sing again or a part of it or stumble through a phrase and enjoy to the max, if you would. But some of the pictures you're going to see reflect 100,000 light years out there. Some of the pictures reflect 50,000 light years of space across. The dimensions of these shots, I cannot get my mind around. It's just that big out there. Now, the point of all this is, hallelujah, for the Lord our God reigns. Look at what He made.
it puts me in such a different perspective. Oh, God. I hope it does that for you. Let's watch that together today. And let's stand. That's been a long-standing tradition, and you probably have sat long enough, and we're about to wrap up. But stand with me, and let's watch this unfold. And sing if you can, or rejoice.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You can be seated. The psalmist, you know, he said about that kind of stuff, when I behold the heavens and the works of your hands. Do you remember how it goes from there? What is man that you're mindful of him? Oh, that's incredible. And to me, it reduces me. That's a kind of a first step. I've got to add one little line, and I better be careful of what I'm doing here. But one of the sources I looked at when I was getting so absorbed in all of this said basically this: having studied all of this for a lifetime and looked at all these kind of things and thousands more, one of the convictions I have is this: God likes to play. Oh, I think I'll carry that with me for a very long time. I've thought about God from the standpoint of severity and seriousness and law and holiness, etc., all those kinds of critical things to the kingdom. But when you do look at shots like that, you go, oh my goodness. Oh. Well, that's maybe a helpful step one. A helpful step two is to spend some time contemplating the seriousness and depth of my sinfulness, my weakness, my failure. I know people don't like to do that, but we're talking about how do you get the size proportionally right. And what we're saying is you get the size proportionally right by seeing God. You remember Isaiah chapter 6? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his splendor filled the temple. Isaiah 6. And he said, I cried out, woe is me, for I am undone, and I am a man of unclean lips. Who knows what Isaiah had said and what he had expressed, maybe even freshly, just before that happened. But this is kind of, I think, a second thing that helps us is to really, really take seriously the sin and failure, and to repent deeply, not kind of quickly, not kind of shallowly, if you would, but deeply. Oh God, oh God. It's a size approximator that's needful in our lives. Third thing, and there are about five steps. A third thing is to do things that increase our grasp of smallness and our grasp of frailty, and that is fasting. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and there's fasting involved in that as well, the sense of letting the cry of your physical person lead the way, letting the frailty of your struggle, even not to eat another burger, lead the way, and you kind of say, oh God, would you help me just deal with this? I want to humble myself. I want to be as I should be before you as this new year begins. And so exercises like fasting and lengthy times in prayer and with God, maybe getting out into the hills around here, even though it's cold, and just walking a great distance and talking with God and talking about your life with Him and saying, God, put me into the right size so I can have a humble heart and can be a recipient of your grace. Not a prideful, striving, arrogant person, but a person that you can touch frequently and often in the lives of people, in my life particularly as well. And then I give you a fifth thing, and that is right self-talk about this. John the Baptist had right self-talk, if you could interpose a 21st century psychological phrase into his ministry. And you know, when Jesus came along, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. I'll bet that took the heat out of John. I mean, in terms of all the frustration, I've done all this ministry, I really am giving my whole self for this, and here comes Jesus and now it's all over. But he had the right concepts going in his mind and in his heart, and it helps us to do that. And so from this point on, say to yourself frequently, it's okay. It really doesn't matter that much. I don't have to win. It's good to be a humble person. If I'm humble now, God will find His way of lifting me at the right time, the right way, the right season. It's great when that person who irritates you comes along and starts in again, right? With the same argument that got you going before. And you know, you can look at them inside and probably don't say it out loud, but you can look at them and say, it's really okay. You can win that argument. It's really fine. Humble of heart. Close with this story. A guy named Steve. Steve was here. He wouldn't impress you. Didn't look impressive. Wasn't that intelligent. Went to a nondescript school. Big long name, you know. geography and some great trustee, you know, all built into the name of the school, you know. The good ones are short, like Utah, you know, kind of, you know, that kind of thing. And this guy went to a nondescript school, learned to be an engineer, computers, and then got a job, first job, Hewlett-Packard, big company. And as he got that job and was going to begin his computer engineering career, God spoke to him very clearly this way. Steve, I know there's a lot in you where you want to make the most of everything. You want to be the best. You want to rise to the top quickly. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to serve other people. I want you to give them the credit for stuff that happens. When there's a breakthrough, I don't want you to try to take the limelight. I want you to give that limelight away. I want you to encourage other people in this company. And I want you to trust me with wherever you go. And that's what he did. He went years and years and years and did that. And rose and rose and rose, like the text says. He will exalt us. He will give us grace. He will do things for us. Got to the end where it was time for him to end that particular place of his life. And announced that to the people there. And one of his chief overseers said, I want to see you if I can. Went in to do the exit thing. The guy said, Steve, I've got a request to make of you. I hope you can respond to it. But before you leave, we've got about five things here that really are important and critical. And could you help us? Could you just pick one of those things and help us before you leave here? Steve's response, well, I'd be glad to serve you any way I can. And I'm fine if you just pick what really is the thing in your mind, and I'll just do my best with it before I go. The boss said, well, okay. He said, I tell you what, one thing I've learned about you, everything you touch turns to gold. When we put others first, when we are humble in heart, we don't demand the limelight, don't demand recognition, don't have to win the arguments. But we're humble of heart. We're like our Lord. And he finds his way to move us and bless us and be with us. So I say to you, happy, humble New Year. Go out there and confound everybody. Go out there and have people go, what? You're not fighting anymore? What? You don't have to get your way? What? I didn't even thank you. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Because something different's working in me. Got it? Okay, let's pray. Lord, you've given us, it's kind of like the constellations, truth that's so different so many times than a lot of stuff that kind of is all around us. And I just really want to thank you that in the kingdom, in your presence and your life, that as we serve and as we care for others, as we pick up the stuff and do the stuff, and sometimes we don't like it at all, but as we learn to serve and put others before ourselves and be humble in our walk, in our attitudes, in our heart, it's the way. It's the Jesus way, and it's the way that we want for this new year as we launch upon it. Lord, we really want this new year to be a year of our Lord in each of our lives, so that the clear fingerprint of your presence is on us all the time, virtually. There may be some here that... this morning, you know, you found us, and we're sure glad you're here, honestly. What a great way to start the year. But you really say, you know, I'm really kind of unclear in terms of my commitment to the Lord, and I really kind of want to be a humble person, like you've kind of talked about it today, but I really kind of need to get started by committing my life to Christ. And I just want you to know that before you leave today, you can do that. And it's really good to do it, because life gets crazy when you go out the doors here, and it's busy for everybody. And There are going to be some people at the front here that are going to come, and they're just going to stand here, and they're going to face out looking at you because they're not trying to embarrass anybody. They're actually trying to make it so that if you come and stand by them, you won't be looking at anybody but them, and you can be a lot more private. But they're going to come and be willing to pray with you and be willing to just do whatever they can do to answer any questions. I'm going to hang around. In other words, you know, the service for most of us may end right now, but for some of us, it may go on for a while. What a great way to spend time today. So, Lord, thank you, and our hearts are full of praise to you. We bless you in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. It's great to be here. Great to be here. Just may you have a great day today and a great week and a good year as it starts. God bless you. God be with you. Amen.